Can you talk about the ECOG pilot study and also what we know about bevacizumab in the heart?
So we know relatively little about bevacizumab in the heart, and this, of course, remains an issue. Certainly with trastuzumab, clinicians and indeed laboratory scientists were absolutely astonished when trastuzumab was found to increase congestive cardiomyopathy with anthracycline-based chemotherapy. And that was due to a lack of understanding of the biology of the disease. With bevacizumab, we have a number of small studies, and these are typically studies involving 20 to 40 patients, where patients have received bevacizumab in combination with an anthracycline or with an anthracyclodione. And in a number of these studies, there is a hint, and I would say just barely a hint, that there may be some increased rate of congestive cardiomyopathy. The problem with these studies, of course, is that they tend to be in populations of patients who are already at increased risk for congestive cardiomyopathy, in that, in addition to anthracyclines, they frequently will have had prolonged use of anthracyclines to a larger dose in the metastatic setting than we would ever use in the adjuvant setting. The patients frequently will have had left chest wall radiation. So we're just simply not sure whether or not this is a true signal or a false one. So E2104 was designed to answer this question. This is a pilot adjuvant trial in which patients in the first part of the trial receive adriamycin and cyclophosphamide followed by paclitaxel given in a dose-dense fashion where patients receive bevacizumab from the beginning with careful cardiac monitoring before, during, and following the year's period of bevacizumab. The second part of this trial is only looking at bevacizumab in combination with paclitaxel, but again with the same careful cardiac monitoring. The trial is not powered to pick up tiny signals. It's powered to pick up fairly significant signals. But the first half of the trial has completed accrual, and we expect to have the data from this, at least some initial data from this, in a fairly short time period. The National Cancer Institute will be taking data from this trial and combining it with two smaller phase 2 trials where an anthracycline has been combined with bevacizumab to get some sense of the rate of congestive cardiomyopathy. And if that rate is significant, then what we would do in the large randomized trial would be to give bevacizumab solely with the paclitaxel. We're hoping, of course, that won't be the case.
How do you factor in the hypertension?
Well, hypertension is a real complication of bevacizumab. It is a modest one. If we look in E2100, what we saw was that in terms of hypertension significant enough to require either a change in therapy or the addition of a new antihypertensive, this only occurred, I think it was in 13% of patients in E2100. So this is a real issue, but not a huge issue. In general, hypertension has been relatively manageable with standard antihypertensive agents and results in relatively few patients coming off of bevacizumab. The real concern, of course, is that if one is giving chronic duration bevacizumab and if that hypertension is not well controlled, well, then that hypertension could represent a coronary artery disease risk factor or a congestive cardiomyopathy risk factor, and that's a reality that we have to deal with. One of the interesting things about bevacizumab, I think, is that it has the potential to turn medical oncologists back into internists, which will be somewhat of a surprise to those of us who are fairly far away from being good general internists.
What are you expecting in terms of the reaction and accrual to this randomized study? I think my take was that the Herceptin studies have really increased the interest in trials in general, but also trials specifically like this, where you have the opportunity for your patient to receive a biologic that there's no way they're going to get outside of a trial. And for example, the NSABP C08 colorectal adjuvant Bev trial got done like in 2 years. I mean, they just rocked right through that study because there was so much interest in that. Do you think the same thing is going to happen with this breast trial?
Well, I certainly hope so. One does not want to ever hex a trial by making trial predictions. E2100 in the metastatic setting accrued quite rapidly, particularly towards the end of the trial. Having that very strong positive result and positive signal, I think, is only going to encourage physicians and patients to be active participants in this trial. Personally, I'm just incredibly excited about this trial. I view it as the culmination of a decade's work of anti-angiogenic therapy in breast cancer. I always, in my own mind, go back to the fact that if we look at the initial pivotal metastatic trial for trastuzumab in breast cancer and compare it to E2100 with regard to hazard ratios and progression-free survival improvement. E2100 looks just as positive as the pivotal Herceptin trial did a decade ago. And if one can then extrapolate from the metastatic setting to the adjuvant setting, what we might see is just a striking result in the adjuvant setting for a much broader population of patients. So I'm incredibly excited about this trial.
What about the issue of arterial events? What's your take on what we know about that right now, and how is this going to be factored into the study?
Well, I think, again, we have, if one looks at the collection of all of the metastatic trial data with bevacizumab, what one sees is perhaps a modest increase in arterial events. And, of course, the concerns one would have long-term would be risk of cerebrovascular events and increased risk of myocardial infarction. I suspect that in an adjuvant setting, this I would hope would be less of a problem. Adjuvant patients are, on average, perhaps a half a decade younger than our patients with metastatic disease. They tend to have fewer comorbidities. We're certainly more aware of the potential for toxicities such as hypertension. I suspect we'll be increasingly better at controlling those. So I'm cautiously hopeful that this isn't going to be a big issue down the road.
What kind of exclusion criteria are you thinking about right now in terms of prior events or age?
Well, they tend to be pretty standard criteria. You can't have had, for instance, a coexisting cardiomyopathy or a recent myocardial infarction.